final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Clubatron. Our 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new shows and new video games, to boldly go where no woman with a fro has gone before. Welcome to another episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter.
Woo!
Y'all, this has been one long week, and there's just so much to unpack on this episode of this week's episode of Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, I suck. What is this called? Forget me not.
I think you'll enjoy it as much as I've enjoyed creating it, so let's unpack it, shall we?
So, this week is fraught with me trying to get into what I actually would like to do with this podcast. It is not going to be a reiteration of the Ready Room or even the Pod Directive, but I think I got a pretty good grasp about what is going on in the Star Trek universe. And I'm realizing just how robust this world is. There are writers, there are tech nerds, there are Trekkies, that this is all they do. They eat, breathe, and sleep Star Trek. If you navigate to Star Trek online, you will find out between the wikis and the games, people, they have dedicated their life to this multi-billion dollar franchise, I'm sure. I'm going to only stick to a small part of it, because the more that I research, the more that I find out about it, the more I get excited. For example, I was clicking around in Twitter and just seeing how I want to click around in Twitter and Instagram just to see how people are responding to each and every episode. But I don't think that is the most beneficial use of my time, because I'm finding out that a lot of the Trek fans are bypassing a lot of those things, and they could care less. What if you're not a Trek person and you're not posting timely information about what's going on in the universe, they're really not going it's not beneficial, and they're not really going to respond in just the regular Twitterverse. But Star Trek Online and interviews and a lot of these other, this singular but very expansive platform is where if you wanted to get information on what's going on in the Star Trek universe, you have to go here. For example, there's been a lot of talk about the binary character played by Blue Del Barrio, Alina, and her relationship with the trans, a very wonderful representation of a trans character by the name of Gray from Trill. But before I get into dissecting the episode, and it's full of spoilers, I'm sorry. If you didn't want to know about what's going on in this week's episode, you just don't need to listen to this show or the Pod Directive or the Ready Room, or just go to Star Trek Online and find out what the latest interview is and what they're talking about, because you're going to be real pissed off. Anyways, it basically this particular episode, I thought, was just kind of cool. Not only when I was looking at Star Trek Online and I found out, number one, it has a magazine, but also there's a whole section on what they're interested in pitching. They're interested in pitches for the following topics that relate to Star Trek for the months of December 2020 and January of 2021. The topics themselves range from current world events and how it relates back to Star Trek, timely responses to recent Star Trek episode. It's not a call for recaps. It's a deeper look at various aspects. that might have been introduced or explored in an episode. Interviews with one-off Star Trek guest stars, Trek-related essays, personal essays that relate back to Trek, any reported work that ties current events back, like NASA and SpaceX, deep dives. Like, did you reread Planet X? And then some revelatory detail that warrants a 15 to 2,000 words. Listicles about your top 10 class in planets. That's funny. Interviews with profiles of interested Star Trek fans. Other creative ideas. Deeper dives on the Borg, the Trill. And I've been thinking about the Borg a lot recently, since last season. And the Borg artifact. Was that this? No, that was Picard. My bad. Star Trek table RPGs. The Wright brothers and modern aviation technology. Homelessness. Because maybe they, the Wright brothers, got their technology from an alien. Who knows? That's kind of cool. Star Trek 6. Oh, these are all of the Star Trek movies. That is the type of thing that I'm interested in. When I do this episode, I am taking a deeper look on some of these topics. For example, after I get through what I do plan on recapping the show and talking about the deeper dives, and as I mentioned, the Trill culture, I had to research a lot more about the burn, and I still don't know enough about it, and I'm hoping it's going to be revealed more forthcoming in further episodes, but I don't know if there's actually any fan fiction or any novel recent work, because I heard there might be, about the burn itself. But I think it would be an interesting short story that is in there somehow, or some other type of pitch. Because I think they probably are going to deal with it as it relates to upcoming episodes, because they got the coordinates for where the Federation is. So I think that they're going to have to suss out that storyline, the back end of that storyline, a little bit more. But that's where we start this week's episode off. Last week, after Michael Burnham picks them up and they head back to Earth, they are basically, they are greeted by a very tense Earth guard. Because of the burn where all of that dilithium went inert, and then when it went inert, basically it caused warp drive. The warp technology that was dependent upon it to those ships to explode, it basically cut off the it broke up the Federation, led to the destruction of the Federation, and a lot of allied species were no longer allied. Well, that's where when the Earth Guard and the Black Colonel comes into contact with someone that used to basically run raids on them. Because it seems like this was a singular population that was on one of the colonies that they basically lost their ability to support itself. And so it was making these raids and had all of these acts of aggression because they were basically starving. And so once they found this out, and that the person that was doing the raids was actually human, and they found this out, that they needed each other. That's when they decided to talk, open up lines of diplomacy, and then help each other out. But one of the inspectors on the ship was a new character called Alina Tull. She is non-binary. And her sexuality has nothing to do with her as a person. She is kind of smart ass, but she's also very brilliant. She is the only known permanent joined human with one of the symbionts from Trill. So this episode, that's where this episode actually starts. So here we go. And I'm sitting here just yapping away without recording.
To my squid's previous hosts, well, if it is your sim or squid, then we should be getting the full picture. So something is blocking your memories.
Like what?
Oh, there's no way to know. There's no precedent. So we have two choices. I can start digging around your hippocampus, hoping to find the answer.
Bad.
That. Or we take you to Trill, if you and the captain agree.
Adira, we have to be clear. No one's ever seen a human host. There's no way of knowing if the Trill will be able, or willing, to assist you. So I could go and it could be a bust and no one gets what they need. I don't get my memories, you don't get Senatol's message, and you never find Federation headquarters.
Is there any way of knowing if the Trill are supposed to mess with
a millennia ago?
No, it is also a risk.
I can't keep living like this, not knowing who I am. Let's go to Trill.
And that's where the uptake or the upshot on the episode is. So they go on. This episode, or just a portion of the episode for the listening audience. So as I'm preparing the track to capture this recording, it picks up where the opening is from the doctor noticing how stressed out the entire crew is. There's a feeling of disconnectedness. It doesn't seem that they regret volunteering for the mission to follow Michael Burnham back to the future. But their reaction to what do we do now, and how do we stay connected with each other and our sanity? It seems like they haven't figured that out yet. So this is where they realize that the character Alina is not only a symbiont, because she actually is that person, probably one of the last Starfleet officers that has the secrets or the memories of where Starfleet is in this new future.
To my squid's previous hosts, well, if it is your sim or squid, then we should be getting the full picture. So something is blocking your memories.
Like what?
Oh, there's no way to know. There's no precedent. So we have two choices. I can start digging around your hippocampus, hoping to find an answer.
Bad.
That. Or we take you to Trill, if you and the captain agree.
Adira, we have to be clear. No one's ever seen a human host. There's no way of knowing if the Trill will be able or willing to assist you. So I could go and it could be a bust and no one gets what they need. I don't get my memories, you don't get Senatol's message, and you never find Federation headquarters.
Is there any way of knowing if the Trill are as peaceful as they were a millennia ago?
No. That is also a risk.
I can't keep living like this, not knowing who I am. Let's go to Trill.
And that's where the uptake or the upshot on the episode is.
Actually land on Trill. And I wanted to record it for how beautiful it seemed. These gardens are on level with most beautiful botanical gardens. And they look like little starfish jumping out of the water.
Miri presents Guardian Z of our spiritual community and Leader Poth.
Thank you.
And it's wild that the spiritual leader is male, but the secular or governmental leader is black, natural hair. And how there is no precedent for this, but they are absolutely freaked the freak out.
Speak your names.
Adira.
And they basically, since they don't, she doesn't look like what you would expect a joined Trill to, and she's not a joined, and she's not Trill, but she is joined, and they have no precedent for it. They would prefer to cast her out and start, instead of figuring out how this is a boon and can actually help their society. How singular and how closed-minded they are. That's what I actually got from this. And basically, it's an epithet for what's going on now. The closed-mindedness and the ridiculousness of just because they don't look or what you expect, you have no precedent for it. You can't adjust and keep it moving.
No one is forcing anything.
We are not Federation members.
So then we go on where
Federation protocol.
They get accosted by some overzealous people. Of course, Burnham caps them, and the spiritual leader leads them to these caves where she actually will learn to connect. And that's why she was so scared, because she was suppressing some very painful memories, which made me feel sad for her. But that's when we discover this other character. In a way, this is beautiful. It's like a the biggest star jellyfish that I've ever seen.
They're trying to connect with you. I don't understand.
And there's also something about Burnham that she, as even though she's a human,
I know you're afraid, but you have to
because of her ability to survive this and lead and guide the Alina character through this, it seems like they think that she will possibly be an appropriate, and that's actually going to be another, I think that's going to be another storyline that I'm hopeful that they will explore, Michael Burnham as host for Trill. How awesome is that? Because there's something about her and her curiosity and her goodness that makes her chemical makeup, makes her, they see it as a viable host. That's awesome. So in these caves, Alina basically comes to terms with her previous memories. And how she or he or how Alina, the Alina character actually, who is non-binary, how Alina remembered those memories with Gray, and how Alina suppressed even some of those happy things, and it was hard for Alina to basically not want to deal with those very painful memories.
I really loved him. Good. What else do you remember?
and how important it is for her, for Elena to get in touch with the hurt, work through it, because that is how she, Elena, is to connect to the other, the memories of the other host. Because it's very important for her, for Elena, to connect with the memories of the main host so she, they can get back to the location of Starfleet. All proof that you can't run from your past, you can't run from the hurt, you just have to stand and deal with it. And then the beauty of this is towards the end, and I wanted to make a comment on this one final thing. When Elena finally came to terms and there was like a commingling of the all of the personalities within the tall host, the tall symbiont, one of the memories of Gray and the persona of Gray, Elena could actually still see. She didn't let Burnham know on that, and it's not supposed to happen. But I'm sure that there are going to be other surprises of a human joined to a toll. Maybe they have better control and they are able to still merge all of the memories and personalities of previous hosts, but separate those things out because of love, because of other issues, to allow, for whatever reason, I think is that great character is going to be who Elena draws her strength, Elena's strength from as she navigates Elena's new reality. And I don't think Elena's sexuality or non-binary status has anything to do with Elena being a good character or a bad character. It's just we as viewers need to be cognizant that Elena is non-binary. It's your or you or they. But Elena is going to be who Elena is on Elena's terms. So I'm going to be cognizant and careful to respect Elena's usage of non-binary pronouns. But, and that's how it basically ends. It goes through all of that. We get introduced that how Gray died, the strong love Elena has for this trans character, against the odds, how a symbiont was permanently implanted and not rejected. What I did also like too is,
what is it?
That as the Gray persona actually played beautifully the cello, and Elena is playing that it's actually a lullaby. The next episode is they use those coordinates to basically find the remnants of the
We're here. Federation headquarters.
Federation.
Trusting you is a risk Starfleet cannot take since the burn. You're not home yet.
And they actually still are not home. Their journey is just beginning. But these are the beginning steps fraught with uncertainty and danger.
Let's show them who we are.
And so they have to basically prove their worth. Worthiness to basically find headquarters. So I'm hopeful that that didn't sound as disjointed as I thought it did. But what I am finding is that, or hopeful that you will also, I'm rest assured of several things. The first thing that I find interesting just is the whole issue of the burn and dilithium, a main source, a power source, going inert. And again, how you would think, it makes me also think of how the Trill society is basically imploding in on itself. Because, was it because of the dependence on the technology and dilithium? How they were inextricably interrelated. So when one went away, the whole failure or the fallacy of their society collapsed. What really happened there? And what caused them to be so vulnerable to that one source of energy? And also, what is it about the molecular and hormonal makeup of the Alina character that made her suitable, and why didn't she reject it? And can it be replicated, or is it something innate? I'm just fascinated by her ability to shut out all of this, like 7 or 8 or 9 previous hosts spread over 1,000 years, but she is able to shut all of those out and glean some of the best features of them. How did she do that? And she didn't even go through the training that the rest of the Trills go through, but she seems to be able to handle it and to apply it with grace and with vigor. And kind of annoying too, because she's just amazingly smart. So there's something in her genetic makeup that allow her not to reject it. There's also, she may actually hold the secrets to either not just putting the Federation back together, but maybe Federation 2.0 or some semblance of it. Because what that means is, and they alluded to in the episode 5, that the journey is just beginning. They found some other people with vestiges of the Federation, but what they may find is they may not want to put it together as it once was, and they may have to come to terms with, is the Federation actually needed in this post-dilithium world? Something actually has to change. They actually have to seek out what it means to be society, cohesion of memories, and a balance of power. And is that all important? And I'm excited about the upcoming episodes. I'm also excited about reading more on Trill society and getting as much as I can from fan fiction, as well as my own essay as it relates to Star Trek fiction and today's my day's reality, and exploring out these perceptions and misconceptions more as they find this crew, the Discovery crew, finds their future. So stay tuned to not only to another episode of Over 40 and Unapologetically Nerdy, but I'll actually be posting, hopefully, within the fandom about my thoughts on the burn, the Trill society collapse, and a few other Star Trek themed things. And please leave me a comment if you think I could do a better job, or I could also suggestions on other Star Trek fan fiction topics that you would like to hear from. I would greatly appreciate it. Just send those to tinfroisreading@gmail.com. And if you actually have someone that really just need a bag of gummy penises, navigate to shipabagofdicks.com/tinfrogotjokes and use my promo code tinfrogotjokes to get a percentage off of your order and off of shipping. And thank you guys. I've really enjoyed all of the research it took to get this episode together, and I hope to see you again next week. Bye.